the book Hebrews, part 204. I'm Professor Hannes Rettinghuis of the First Assembly of Jehovah's Witnesses South Africa, Pretoria, Montana, also international. Meaning by international, we are preaching the gospel of salvation in the revelation word of Yahshua throughout the world, through internet, Instagram, Telegram, Dropbox, YouTube, Facebook, you can call it. All internet platforms we are using to spread the gospel of salvation internationally. Should you require any of the books which I've written, or maybe the restoration of the original Sacred Name Bible, the Rottenham version, the one that was translated by Dr. Joseph Brian Rottenham in 1860, you are so welcome. I have a couple available. You can contact me on my WhatsApp numbers, plus the 27 international code 0722-367-124. Just go to my website, https://yahvah.co.za. All small letters continuously. Sorry, my ears just closed up for 1 second. If this is the first time that you are about to participate in the study, you are so very, very welcome. Please go to part one, because you've missed out on quite a bit of information. It's very important to subscribe to the channel in order to receive the different notification of all the other studies. Send this link to your friends and families, to those that are dear to you. Make sure that at least they have a 1611 King James Bible, pen and paper ready to make notes. Welcome to Breakfast with Prof. Hannes. Hallelujah. What a privilege just to study the word this morning. We are going to continue in Hebrews. We're still busy with chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, but I'm using a sub scripture, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 52, to explain better and more what has happened in the previous scripture. So it says in verse 52, 1 Corinthians 52, in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trumpet. There's no trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead, only those who died in Yahshua, bride, shall rise incorruptible. Hallelujah. That's a glorified body. And we who are alive today, who are listening to this message, if it happens now, my father and them who died many, many years ago is going to arise incorruptible. Not the ungodly, only bride. And we, immediately, us, will be changed. This body of us is going to be changed. How do we know it? Well, it's a mystery. This is what verse 51 says. Apostle Paul is sharing a mystery. I say in verse 53, for this corruptible, this body, must put on incorruption. So, meaning that this body is corrupted. Meaning when I die and they bury me, if I have a heart attack and they're going to bury me, it means that the maggots, the worms, is going to eat my flesh. Right to the bone. That's what corruptible means. It's not nice to think about it, but that is a fact. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. So this body, which is flesh, must become spiritual. And you know what? Since the day that we came to repentance and were immersed in the name of Yahshua to the forgiveness of our sins, we are in the process of putting up incorruption. The heavenly is busy overshadowing the corruptible. And that's why the Ruach HaKodesh and Yahweh our Father does not live in temples which is made by hand. He says our bodies are the temple of the Ruach HaKodesh. So he's living not in my heart, because we have a doctor many years ago called Dr. Chris Barnard, who was the first in the world, South Africa. Not bad, eh? First in the world who transport a heart and the person lived. And from there on, he's done hundreds of heart transplants, and today it's all over the world, they can do it. So if it has to do anything with my heart, it would mean if I die and my heart is donated to somebody else, then whatever is in my heart, the other person is going to inherit. It's not what it is. And he says, my son, my daughter, give me your heart. It means my soul dimension. It's figurative speech. Soul's dimension showing to the heart. Because the heart is the pump that keeps my body going every day. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal means going to die, must put on immortality. Meaning, I am bound not to die. We must put on, we must strive, we must fight. Well, we don't need to fight, because Yahushua has won the fight already 2,000 years ago. But we must strive in holiness every day of our lives. He says in 54, so when this corruptible, this flesh, shall have put on incorruption, meaning that we have been justified, we've been forgiven of our sins, our trespasses, through the revelation blood of Yahushua. Hallelujah. He forgiven all our sins. The day that we repent and we were immersed in the name of Yahushua to the forgiveness of our sins. He said he took the cloak of sin and it was thrown in the sea of forgiveness, and you will never ever think about it again. Yeah, well, we were taught for many years that we are going to appear. When any person dies, he appears before the throne of judgment to receive whether it's good or bad. You see, the church manipulated the scriptures in such a way. The bride of Yahushua, this scripture says, if we are holy enough, we're living in a relationship with Yahweh and Yahushua through the leading and the teachings of the Ruach HaKodesh. We can never appear before a throne of judgment. Why? The cloak of sin was thrown in the sea of forgiveness. And the word says, Yahushua and Yahweh never ever thinks about it again. So what does that do? That shifts the onus unto us after we have been immersed. First repentance, then immersing. In the name of Yahushua, to the forgiveness of sin. We become part of the bride of Yahushua. Now the onus is on us, on you and me, to strive towards total holiness. Can we be total holy? We strive towards it. And that's why the Bible says we must live for today. We are not planning for something over a month or... Yes, we can plan. When we have an immersing service, we plan that 3 months in advance to be able to get the right venue, because we have a warm water swimming pool where private, where we what we are using for the last 12 years already for our ceremony or the occasion where we immerse the people. It's all the facilities is there. Showers and everything. And especially in the winter, it's nice to immerse people where there's hot water. Standing in the water, immersing 20, 30, 40 people, you feel like you're standing in cold water, the same as if your bottom part of your body has gone icy, gone dead. So we live in holiness. We need to strive. Apostle Paul said, it's like an athlete running to come first, to be on the podium first. We don't want to be on the second podium or the third podium first, because the guy that came second, I said it before, I might just say it again. The guy that comes second is the first guy who lost. I don't know why they give them the medal, silver and bronze. Oh, and you give the other guys medals as well. What makes these two guys so special? They've lost. They were not the winners. Oh, it's just a prize just to make people feel good. No, eternity is not about making people feel good. It's eternity is getting people to repent. Repent is to give up the stuff that you are used to live with, and treat it as if it was something holy. You need to repent of those things. The Bible says, be immersed in the name of Yahushua to the forgiveness of your sin. So what do we do? Then we strive towards holiness every day. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal, this is mortal, shall have put on immortality, everlasting, then shall be brought to pass a saying that is written. Listen nicely what is written in the word here in verse 54. Then shall be brought to pass a saying that is written. Death is swallowed up in victory. Now, is this for everybody who's on earth? Or is this only to do with the bride of Yahushua who lives in holiness? In the twinkle of an eye, we are going to be changed from mortal to immortality, to earthly or fleshly, into a heavenly body. Now it says, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. Now you must listen what it says. Death is swallowed up in victory. Meaning what? What does that sentence mean? Death is swallowed up in victory. I see, when I look at seas, it's a video of the sea action. You see some of these fishes, they're hiding, and they ambush small fishes. They just swallow them up. The one moment you see the fish, small fish, the next moment they're gone. The big fish has just swallowed it. So the death is being swallowed up by who? By up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. So what does that mean? It means that victory, the power of Yahweh and Yahushua, has swallowed up death. Now you will remember that I spoke to you already that death, which was spiritually where Adam and Eve had lost in the Garden of Eden, was overcome by Yahushua, who went into Hades and returned and were drawn up into heaven. Ascended up into heaven. Now it says, when the bride is taken away, when we are changed from earthly into immortality, from earthly into a heavenly body, death is swallowed up in victory. Why? Because death has no dominion over me then. The moment that it happened, I'm not ever going to die. And that's why I can never stand before a white throne judgment, because I was holy enough to sidestep death. Do you know that? You sidestep death when you are being changed from earthly into heavenly. You're sidestepping, which was impossible, because it's part of the curse which Yahweh put on Adam and Eve if they would eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So what happened here? Death is swallowed up in victory. So this means from that very moment, death does not exist anymore. No, it's not what it says. But if you read it like it, it sounds like it. Death does not exist anymore. No, for the ungodly people, for the next 7 years and 105 days of great tribulation, many people is going to die on this earth. When the veils are thrown out, the rivers is going to turn into blood, the sea is going to turn into blood, and every time a third of the earth people will die. On wormwood, when it hits the earth, the water will become toxic, and it's like blood. It's a reaction, a chemical reaction, and the rivers and the sea will turn also red again. When the hailstones, which is 1 talent heavy, did you know how heavy is 1 talent? It is 60 kilogram per hailstone. It's not the egg size, it's not the ostrich size, it is 60 kilogram. Do you know that a bag of cement, mortar, which you're going to use to build your house, weighs 50 kilogram, 10 kilograms more heavy than that, falling all the way from heaven. If it hits your car, it goes right through your car. If it hits your roof, it goes right through your roof. If it hits you, it goes right through you. It will be like a fly that you swat with a swatter. There's just a blood splash, that's everything that's there. If one of those hailstones will hit you. You see, when it talks about 1 talent big, nobody ever tells us how big is a talent. I did the study on the core confidence, where they explain to us that 1 talent is 60 kilogram. So what happens there? When he says that death is swallowed up in victory, it does not mean that there is no death. For the bride, there is no death. Because we sidestep the death. We are being changed from earthly into heavenly, from corruptible to incorruptibility. So what happens for the earthly people? Death still remains. And that death will only be dealt with at Revelation 20, verse 11. Now, yeah, time has caught up with us. We're going to talk about this tomorrow morning a bit more. Maranatha, Yahshua is coming back again. Hallelujah.